Text. Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents. Title. Deadly Deed, a fixer-upper mystery. Night. Two young men approach a mansion.
I'm telling you, okay? That rich old lady who lived here died last year.
This place gives me the creeps.
Come on, dude. I mean, who knows what we can find?
Opening credits. Amuse Entertainment Production. Jewel. Colin Ferguson.
Sweet. Come on.
The young men find a ladder outside. Text. Aaron Karpluck. Ron Lee, Jason Cermak, Colin Lawrence, Sean Rogerson. Caroline Cave, Kurt Evans, Tammy Gillis, Crystal Ballant, John Cassini, Lila Fitzgerald, Graham Verschaer, Gerard Plunkett. The two young men climb a ladder and enter the home on the upper level. They hold flashlights as they snoop around inside. They turn a corner and find a room full of furniture, covered in white sheets. One of them steps further inside, then turns.
And we could probably...
There's nobody behind him.
Trevor?
He steps back into the hallway and glances around. Trevor pops out, grabbing the other one.
You're a jerk.
Ooh, it's what you get.
They both turn to the stairwell.
Someone's downstairs.
They look at each other, then approach the stairwell.
Dude.
They peek over the landing. On the level below, they see footsteps approaching. They dash back upstairs, then down a second staircase on the other side of the hall. On the lower level, they freeze, then turn and dash toward the front door. As they run out the front door, a shadow passes behind, covering the screen in blackness. Daytime. The sky is a light blue over a lighthouse beside a body of water. Several cars drive over a bridge beneath a sign, "Welcome to Lighthouse Cove." Shannon approaches her backyard shed and knocks.
Mac!
Coming!
Hey, that was gonna have to drag you out of bed.
Nah, I was up late last night writing.
One day you still got up to volunteer for my project. What a guy.
You told me I had no choice.
True. But if my dad and I are gonna finish this project, we have to marshal all of our resources. Thank you, by the way, for delaying the work on your house.
Oh, I don't mind the delay.
I like my little riding pad, my mostly nice landlady.
Mostly? You might want to rethink that if you want a ride to the forest house.
Oh, I'm going to have to meet you there. I'm picking up my niece at the ferry this morning.
That's right. Today is the day. I am all ready. I have clean sheets on the bed in the guest room.
Are you sure about this? I mean, I have a teenager in your house for 2 weeks?
I hear that teenagers are people, too. Seriously, I am excited to get to know her.
Well, I'll bring Callie by the house, then.
You can put a power tool in her hand.
Let's start with a paintbrush.
Mac nods.
Yeah.
Better idea. Okay. I'll see you there.
Right.
A sign on the sidewalk reads Hughes Renovations, volunteers sign in. Starts today. Shannon's truck pulls into the driveway, passing several people walking up to a large country manor. Shannon and Jennifer get out of the truck.
Wow, look at all the volunteers.
Morning. Although I still can't believe that the bank actually donated this house.
Why do you say that?
The mortgage for my B&B is with the same bank, and let's just say I try very hard not to miss a payment.
Shannon waves at Trevor and his friend on the lawn. They turn and ride away on their bikes without acknowledging. Shannon shrugs. Shannon and Jennifer approach the house.
Oh, this is great.
A woman on the lawn types on her cell phone.
Hey, Marie.
Shannon, hello. The big day is finally here.
We are very excited. Jen, this is Marie Bishop. She is the executive director of Sunnyside Housing. It was her idea to turn this house into apartments for her low-income clients.
Such a great idea.
It will be, if we can get it done in time. That's Dave Drummond, over there. I think you met him?
Yeah, the vice president of the bank.
He's checking to see if the bank president will show up for the photo op that I set up with the newspaper.
That would be great. More publicity will mean more volunteers.
That's the idea.
All right, we'll see you guys inside.
You bet.
Right. Pleased to meet you.
You too.
Marie steps away.
So, what did she mean if you pull it off in time?
Donations to nonprofits come with conditions. The condition on this one is it has to be done in a 3-month time frame. Otherwise, the house reverts back to the bank.
Shannon, that isn't a lot of time.
We'll get it done.
Dave approaches Marie.
So, is Mr. Potter coming?
Yeah, Patrice said she put it on his calendar. And he didn't say he's not coming.
That doesn't sound promising.
Yeah, he lost the vote. The board approved the donation, and he needs to get over it.
They walk toward the house. At a harbor, a line of people file onto the dock. Max smiles watching the people pass. A teenage girl with a suitcase walks the gangplank onto the dock.
Uncle Mac!
Callie! Look at you! You're like a foot taller than when I saw you last.
Well, at least an inch anyway.
Yeah, how was the ferry ride?
Thrilling.
Oh, well, say goodbye to those thrills. I'm putting you to work for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, what?
Well, you'll see.
Shannon and Jennifer approach the porch. Sean turns to them.
Ah, there you are. Just one second. So, all these people keep asking me where they should go, and I have no idea what to tell them.
Oh, well, hi.
Hi, Sean.
Jennifer, hey.
Hey.
Wow, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hope you're okay getting a little paint on that outfit.
Oh, little splash of color might brighten things up. Yeah.
Pete approaches.
So, do any of these people know what they're doing, or?
Well, if they don't, we can teach them. I taught you, didn't I?
Dad, I thought I would have Jen start a sign-up sheet. She could get people's contact information and then see if they have any skills that we could use.
Good idea. Sean, grab a couple of boys and unload the supplies, okay? We'll set up a command center inside.
Yes, sir.
Sean salutes and walks off. Jennifer watches.
I thought Sean was kind of cute.
Shannon and Pete stare.
Okay. All right, everyone, can I get a lineup of volunteers along the wall here, please? Good morning.
Shannon and Pete put their arms around each other. Mac and Callie arrive and stand on a lawn. A woman in a blazer walks nearby.
What a turnout, huh?
Yeah, it's good to see people pitching in for a good cause.
Oh my gosh, you're him, McIntyre Sullivan. Wow, I finally get to meet you. Hi, I'm Whitney Sloan. I own Beacon Books.
Oh, yeah, love that place. This is my niece, Callie.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, Sloan, any relation to Tommy Sloan, the police officer?
Yeah, he's my brother. He said that he knows you, and I've been bugging him to ask if you'd do a signing at my shop.
Well, now you can bug me yourself. Shall we?
The three of them approach the entrance. Inside, Shannon indicates a blueprint for Pete.
So we'll use our guys to frame in the walls here and here, and then we'll use volunteers to hang the sheetrock.
It's going to take a lot of quality control.
Marie enters with a man and teenager.
Hey there, Marie.
I want to introduce you to one of our families. This is Jim Hopkins and his son, Elliot.
Hey.
They're slated to get one of the apartments when they're done.
Yes, and I'm told none of this would be possible if you two didn't volunteer and take charge, so thank you.
Happy to help.
This will be their first home of their own in over a year.
Yes. I lost my job when the cement plant shut down. Hasn't been easy, but with all this going on, looks like things are looking up.
So, Elliot, are you going to help with the renovation?
Yeah, well, don't like sleeping on my cousin's couch too much, so.
Well, in return for your hard work, you and your dad can pick out the apartment you like best.
Do you?
Oh, the newspaper people should be here now, so come on, Elliot. Let's go say cheese for the cameras.
Picture time.
They exit just as Mac enters with Callie.
Hey, Mac. You are just in time to be memorialized in the Lighthouse Cove News.
Wow.
You must be Callie.
Pleased to meet you.
Very pleased to meet you.
Outside on the lawn.
Okay, everyone, come on in. Come on, we're going to take a photo, everyone. Yep, that's right. Come on, get it nice and close. Okay, everyone, squeeze together. Make a couple lines. Everyone get in and squeeze together.
The volunteers gather close on the lawn. Shannon smiles, her shoulder brushing Max.
Wait.
A man in a suit approaches, followed by a woman carrying boxes.
Oh, so Charles deigned to show his face after all.
Mr. Potter.
Patrice, so glad you could make it.
Wouldn't miss it.
Everyone make room for the president of the bank.
Potter steps into the middle of the crowd.
Okay, everybody. Smile.
Inside, Shannon gathers sticky notes.
Okay, We are splitting up the volunteer assignments between those that require expertise and those that don't.
Terrific. I'll take these to Jennifer in a few minutes. You'll be hearing the sweet sounds of construction.
Thanks, Dad.
Now, Mr. Potter, my sources tell me you opposed this donation.
I make no apologies for that. It's my job to ensure a profit for the bank. It's also my job to carry out the wishes of my board of directors. So I will be keeping an eye on the renovation and making sure the donation is used properly.
I have just one more question, though, about the project, and I understand from my sources that...
I'm guessing he's the one that came up with the 3-month deadline.
Good guess. I should get back to the bank. Let me know if there's anything else I can do to help move the project along.
Thanks, Dave. You've been awesome.
Marie smiles.
So, what is my work assignment for today?
Oh, great. You're a plumber. You're going to be joining the crew in the basement. Thank you. Hello, ladies. I'm going to have you sanding cabinets in the kitchen. Thanks very much. Hey, Andy, how's it going? You're up painting in the master bedroom? Thanks.
Aren't you worried that one's a spy for Mr. Potter?
Patrice pours from a carafe.
Who, Patrice?
Whitney nods.
Hi there. I'm going to have you offloading supplies just at this side of the house.
You just know she's the one that writes those letters. The ones that make you feel like they're about to snatch your place away from you.
I'm going to get you in the cleanup crew. It's on the third floor. So I'm guessing that you have a mortgage with his bank also?
My bookstore. Recently I tried to refinance, but even though the loan officer approved it, Potter shot it down.
Oh, he's a micromanager, all right.
He's worse than that. He is...
Donut?
Patrice approaches them with a box.
Woo! Woo! Come in. My fave. I wanted to make sure you both got one before they're gone.
So good.
Shannon examines wood upstairs.
Looks like someone took a saw to this.
I worked 25 years at my job, and it's not my fault the cement plant shut down.
It's not my problem.
What kind of a man are you?
The kind of man who doesn't rely on handouts.
Potter and Jim Hopkins separate as Shannon walks downstairs. Potter approaches Shannon.
Excuse me, is everything okay?
You in charge of this renovation?
Yeah, my dad and I.
If that's the quality of help you have, I'd be worried about making your deadline.
I'm sorry, Mr. Potter, but is there a problem? I just saw one of our clients looking very upset.
Miss Bishop, I've been wanting to talk to you. I've reason to believe that Dave Drummond duped our board of directors into approving this donation.
Well, you can't be serious.
Are you saying you know nothing about it?
I'm saying that you must be mistaken.
And what about you? Did Drummond offer you something to stay quiet?
Stay quiet about what?
Mr. Potter, I don't know what you think is happening, but Shannon has volunteered her time and her expertise.
Most volunteers I know ladle soup in a kitchen. They don't work gratis for months, unless they expect to get something in return.
Well, what I get in return is the satisfaction of helping people.
Well, for your sake, I hope that's true.
Potter turns and walks out.
Wow. I hope this hasn't made you rethink taking on this project.
No, don't worry about it. I am not easily intimidated. But that guy is riled up about something.
Sean stands in the garage.
There you go. Third floor.
Sean! Wow, this place looks great. It's amazing how fast you got all this together.
Yeah, it's because I've had a little help from my new supply crew.
Callie waves.
I was wondering, is this a real job or just where you stick the kids?
Well, this is actually the hub of the entire operation.
Hey, just letting you know I'm leaving now. This is for you, my card, if you want to set up that book signing.
You should do it, Uncle Mac. Never been to one of your book signings before.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll pick a date and I'll give you a call.
Great.
Whitney walks off.
You mean I could get a chance to stand in line and get your autograph?
You're making fun of me.
No. Yes, a little.
Callie grins and turns away. At home, Callie opens a guest bedroom door.
And this is your room. And your uncle is right out back if you need to talk to him.
Or I can just text him. He writes pretty funny texts.
He does write funny texts. He's really happy that you're here.
I missed him. Like, so much. I wish he hadn't moved away, but... guess I don't blame him after all that drama from him calling off the wedding. Bathroom's down that way, right?
Is Mac, he was engaged?
Thought you knew. Pretend I didn't say that.
Callie walks out.
She was engaged.
Elsewhere, at a restaurant, a waitress leads Callie, Shannon, and Mac to a table. Shannon glances at Mac as she passes.
What?
Now, the three sit at a patio table overlooking the water.
This seriously might be one of the prettiest places I've ever been.
Wait till you see the house that your uncle bought. It's right on the water.
Yeah, Shannon's renovating that one, too.
Although, he doesn't make it easy. Always adding changes that he wants. It's a very demanding client.
I think the word you're looking for is discriminating.
No, that's not the word I'm looking for.
Like to propose a toast to Callie's arrival in Lighthouse Cove.
Hey, Callie. Excuse me.
Shannon checks her phone.
What?
What's up?
Some tiles we need first thing tomorrow didn't make the delivery truck today. I better text Sean, see if he can help me get them to the job site tonight.
Well, Uncle Mac, you can help her.
No, it's your first night here. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm gonna hang with you.
Well, my favorite show is on tonight, so.
I'll watch it with you. I'm not gonna leave you alone in an unfamiliar place.
I don't need a babysitter. I'm almost 15.
That is pretty old.
So then you can help Shannon.
Callie grins, glancing at Shannon.
Apparently it's settled.
Well, then I propose another toast to Callie.
I think that's a good idea.
Callie smiles. Night, the light atop the lighthouse spins. Shannon's truck drives down a driveway and parks. Her lights go off. Nearby, another set of headlights goes on. Mac watches as a blue truck drives off.
I wonder who that was.
They get out of her truck and approach the garage. The light inside is on.
Nice of someone to leave the light on in the garage.
The garage should be locked up tight. Sean wouldn't have left it open like that.
Well, maybe he came back to get some work done.
Something isn't right.
They walk up to the entrance of the garage. Shannon squints, looking at the tools inside. Just around the corner from the garage entrance, a body lies motionless under a large steel column.
Oh no. That's Charles Potter, the bank president.
They dash up. Mac holds his hand to Potter's neck, then glances back at Shannon.
I can't find a pulse.
Shannon steps forward. She covers her mouth. Nighttime at the garage entrance. A cop car is parked in the driveway. An officer ducks under police tape and approaches other officers examining the body. Tommy separates from them and approaches Shannon and Mac.
Okay, you said you saw a pickup parked out front when you arrived?
Yeah, a Ford. It pulled away as soon as we got here.
We're pretty sure it was blue with a white hardtop, like an older model.
Any idea who it belonged to?
No.
And you don't know why Potter was here tonight? Or who else might have been here with him?
No, but when he was here earlier today, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Like who?
Me, for one. Marie Bishop, the director of the nonprofit. He had words with one of the volunteers, Jim Hopkins.
Well, the coroner's pretty sure we're looking at the cause of death as blunt force trauma to the head.
Could it have been with a crescent wrench?
Why would you say that?
While we were waiting, I noticed one of ours is missing. That peg is empty. When I left work earlier today, there was a crescent wrench hanging from it, a black and red grip.
Oh, tell them what else you noticed.
The hem of Potter's pants, if you look along the bottom, there's darker stains. They're fading now, but they were darker when we got here.
Yeah, it looked to us like the bottom of his pants were wet.
The chief turns and approaches Potter's body. He crouches and examines Potter's pant leg.
Well, it's faint. You know, but I see it now that you point it out. You make sure Ed gets a picture before it dries anymore.
I took a picture right after I called you guys, if you want it.
Chief nods. At home, Mac opens the guest door. He sees Callie laying in the bed, eyes closed. Mac walks down the hallway and passes the study. Inside, Shannon is strumming a guitar. She turns to Mac.
Callie's sound asleep.
Good. That means she's comfortable.
You okay?
I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, all the years I covered crime, I could never come up with a satisfactory explanation for why murder happens so often. I guess that's why I feel compelled to write about it.
To try and make sense of it. I think it's just hitting me. A guy that I talked to just hours ago murdered in such a brutal way.
That's not an image I'm going to get out of my mind anytime soon.
What?
Callie stands in the hall.
Someone you know was murdered?
Now, Mac enters the den with a mug.
Here, hot cocoa. It'll make you feel sleepy again.
Thanks, Uncle Mac. I don't need that to fall asleep. Not a little kid.
More for me then.
I'll drink it because I like it.
Callie and Mac sip together. Shannon smiles.
I can't believe someone was killed in that house. Practically right where I was standing.
I'm sorry you had to find out like this.
Do you think the killer was someone you know?
Let's say no more questions for tonight, okay?
You know, when I was young and would worry, my mom would tell me that if I would quiet my mind and listen really well, that I could hear all of the good things in the world and that they outweighed the bad.
Callie smiles. Mac looks at Callie, then smiles at Shannon. Daytime. At the work site, Shannon and Jennifer chat on their cells.
There's a lot of people there.
The project is resuming.
Okay. But we'll let you know.
Thanks for volunteering.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Well, that's the second volunteer that's had a terrible story about Charles Potter.
I'm getting the strangest reactions, too. We should write down what people are telling us. Maybe one of the stories will lead to whoever killed Potter.
Well, maybe you could leave that to the police.
Dad? Hi. What I meant was that I would be passing these stories along to Tommy.
It's his job to collect them, not yours. You start asking questions to someone who happens to be the killer, what happens then?
Pete, with Sean.
We find the killer.
Yeah, but it's kind of like putting a target on yourself.
Last time you were curious about a murder, you put your life in danger. Promise me you'll let the police handle this.
Come on. Shannon, you don't want your dad worrying, do you?
No, I don't. I promise that I will leave the question asking to the police.
Thank you. I'm gonna go pick up the hoist for tomorrow.
Jennifer, maybe we could go grab a bite to eat, go to a movie sometime?
Sure. A movie sounds great.
Okay.
Bye.
I totally think he just asked you on a date.
I think that you might be right. So listen, tell me, why haven't you and Mac ever gone to the movies?
Neither of us are in dating mode right now.
Okay, but you've gone for dinner a few times, right?
Do you consider that a date?
Yes.
I don't know. We made this agreement that both of us are fine just being friends.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. Who's next?
Mac stands in the bookstore.
A week from Friday looks good. That'll be something fun for Callie's last night.
Wonderful. I am sure that you'll get a great turnout. So many people have heard that you live here and they've all been asking about you. Now they finally get to meet you.
Wow, I'm glad it puts you in such a good mood.
Sounds awful, doesn't it? To be in such a good mood when Charles Potter is dead. I mean, it's awful. He was murdered. But I can't help but be relieved he won't be making my life so difficult anymore. And I'm sure I'm not the only one.
You know someone who might have wanted him,
My uncle would like to buy these books for me, please.
Callie drops a large stack.
I mean, you always say books are a worthy investment.
I do say that.
Well, I can tell you all the great reading spots in town. Although the best one by far is at Rocky Point Park. There's a bench that overlooks the water, and it's so quiet and peaceful. It's the best spot ever to escape from the world.
Thanks. We'll check it out.
Great choices.
At the work site.
Yes, thank you. We really appreciate it. All right, bye. All right, who is next?
Well, we just have a few more, but I mean, I can't... I can't read their writing. Is that a 5 or is that a 3?
Shannon glances up, noticing the blue truck passing.
That's it. That is the blue truck we saw leaving here last night. Just before we found Potter's body.
Wait, so what, you think that could be his killer?
The truck parks. Jim gets out of the driver's seat and smiles, waving at Shannon. Shannon smiles and waves back.
Shannon.
Now, Jim stands with Shannon and Jennifer.
So Charles Potter was killed here last night, as in, like, right here?
Well, out back by the garage, but yes.
Wow. That's terrible. I mean, look, I didn't exactly like him, right? But you heard him. How he implied a real man wouldn't take a handout.
I didn't hear what he was saying to you, but I did hear somebody saw your truck parked here last night.
Well, yeah, it was me and Elliot. We came by to take a look at our future house. Parked a while, talked, made plans for the new place.
Do you see anybody come or go?
No, nobody. Hey, if we're not going to work today, I'm going to get going, so let me know if you need me.
Jim returns to his truck.
Hey, we don't have your number.
Bishop has it.
He gets in and pulls away backwards.
He's definitely in a hurry to get out of here.
Yeah, and Shannon, you definitely just broke your promise to your dad asking Jim all those questions.
I know. You know me. I cannot help it.
Shannon, what if he is the killer? He's probably going to figure out that you were the witness.
Oh, good. It's Tommy.
Tommy approaches in a police car. Shannon walks over.
Hey, Tommy, we gotta go catch up with Jim Hopkins.
That's exactly who I'm looking for. After you told C. Edwards with Potter, I ran a background check. He's got a record, and his DMV printout shows that he drives
a blue truck. He was just here, and he admitted that he was here last night. He went that way.
Tommy pulls away.
I think that a single father who has to take care of a kid would commit murder.
No, me too.
Tommy drives away, lights flashing.
Do you think it'd be breaking my promise to my dad if I tried to find out why Jim Hopkins has a record?
I mean, I guess not.
What if I ask Marie Bishop how Jim Hopkins became a client of Sunnyside Housing?
Okay, that would definitely be breaking your promise.
Probably right.
Yeah.
What if you ask for me?
Shannon, no. And don't think you'll be able to talk me into it this time.
Shannon grins, looking longingly. Now, Jennifer on the village sidewalk.
How does she do it? How does she talk me into these things?
Dave, stop. This conversation is not finished. You can't just pretend it didn't happen.
What did you expect me to do?
Jennifer watches unseen as Marie stares at Dave storming off down the sidewalk. Marie sighs and returns inside. In Shannon's kitchen, Max sits at the table typing on his laptop. He answers his cell.
Shannon, been wondering where you were.
At the forest house, waiting for my dad to drop a hoist off. You wouldn't happen to be near a computer right now, would you?
Yeah, just trying to squeeze out a few paragraphs while I wait for Callie. Ready to the park in a bit.
Good. So tell me, how would you, as an investigative reporter, find out someone's prior convictions?
Well, I'd probably do a quick search of public records. What's his name?
Jim Hopkins. Probably James Hopkins.
James Hopkins. Give it a sec. Even in the internet age, it takes some time to pry open a man's secrets.
Maybe I should have conducted an online search on you.
Me?
You think I have secrets?
I don't know. Do you?
Callie stands at the hallway behind Mac.
Search results coming in. Jim Hopkins, is he a suspect?
He showed up here in the blue truck that we saw last night. Tommy says he has a record.
He does. He's was convicted for grand theft auto, Mathis County, July 1997.
20 years ago. So nothing else, nothing violent.
That's all that comes up.
Okay, thanks. Hey, gotta go before my dad thinks I'm pinning a target on my back.
Target? Hey, what do you...
Mac picks up, then sighs. He turns, seeing Callie, then closes his laptop.
Ready to go?
Yep.
Max stands and walks out with Callie. Elsewhere, Sean helps Pete and Shannon remove an airlift from the back of her truck.
Good.
Thanks, darling.
Thank you. We can get it the rest of the way.
Oh, almost forgot. Have a look at this. I was finishing the paperwork for the county and took another look at the appraisal. I thought, this can't be the appraisal for this house. Maybe they gave us the wrong one?
It's the right address.
Yeah, but look at the appraisal value.
Yeah, it can't be right. It's too low.
This house is worth at least three times as much.
Absolutely.
I wonder if that's what he was talking about.
What who was talking about?
I'm gonna head down to the bank. See how this happened.
Well, here, just give it to me. I'll handle it.
No, you guys keep working. I got it.
Shannon folds up the paper and walks off. Pete watches with concern as she leaves. Elsewhere, Callie and Max sit on a park bench reading from separate books. Callie takes a grape from a basket. She glances around.
I'm gonna walk around a bit.
Mm-hmm.
She stands and walks off. She walks down a dirt path. On a short cliff below, she notices Elliot tossing rocks at the water. She approaches Dot Zero.
Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Kelly.
Nice spot, huh?
Yeah.
Elliot looks away, frowning. He tosses another rock.
So, I heard my uncle talking on the phone. Do the police think your dad had something to do with that old man getting killed?
I guess. Dad made me leave when the police came to search my cousin's house. I still saw them put him in a police car.
He tosses another rock.
That's terrible. Do you think that...
You asking me if I think my dad killed Mr. Potter?
Callie sighs. On the bench, Mac looks up from his book and glances around. He stands and walks off, approaching the top of the cliff, overlooking Elliot and Callie.
Apparently.
We've got to go tell him.
Elliot? Callie? Everything okay?
Callie and Elliot exchange glances. Daytime at Lighthouse Cove. Shannon walks the hallways of the bank. She approaches an office. Inside the office, Patrice is sifting through the pages of books, then placing them into a box.
Patrice!
Oh, hi! Sorry, I'm just packing up Mr. Potter's things to make way for the new acting president.
I don't mean to interrupt. I was just wanting to talk to you about the appraisal for the house donated to Sunnyside.
Well, you should ask Mr. Drummond, who's also the new acting president, at least until the board appoints him to the position permanently.
Drummond got Potter's job.
Yes, he's always wanted to be president of this bank.
Oh, let me help you with that.
Thank you.
Shannon walks over. As she lifts the box, she notices a locked desk drawer.
What is it?
It's heavier than I thought. Maybe we could find a security guard to help carry it.
Right. I'll ask Brad.
Patrice walks out of the office. Shannon crouches and notices several scrapes beneath the lock. She stands, noticing Dave.
Oh, I see you there. What are you doing here?
You're moving in already?
I suppose it's bad form to move into Charles's office so fast. Maybe I should wait a week or two.
Yeah, I don't know the protocol on that one. I was just wondering if you might take a look at this for me. It's the appraisal on the Forest House. Would you tell me if anything looks strange to you?
He shakes his head.
The value for the property doesn't seem too low.
Oh, well, that can't be right.
You didn't know? If the board voted to donate the house at that value, then it's...
Well, I'm not a voting member of the board, so I don't know exactly what value they approved.
Wouldn't it be in the meeting minutes?
You're right. I will try to dig those up.
You know, I'd be happy to track the appraiser down, see why the number is so off.
Oh, that's okay. You know what? I will do that. I'd like to get an explanation for all the paperwork that I'm going to have to do to correct his mistake.
All right. Well, when you get it, let me know, because I need to file accurate numbers to file with the county for the renovation.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right.
They exchange a stiff glance. Dave carries a box to his desk. As Shannon disappears down the hall, he glares in her direction. He takes out the appraisal again. Elsewhere, Whitney stands with Tommy at the police station.
So, I'm thinking this book signing will draw a big crowd, and I'm wondering if you can help me figure out what to do about parking. Earth to Tommy?
Sorry, can we talk about that tomorrow? I'm kind of busy right now. I just got back the autopsy results on Potter.
Tommy reads from a folder and sits.
What's it say?
Well, no big surprises.
So is it true that you have a suspect?
Tommy, do you have a minute?
Mac appears with Callie and Elliot. Shannon exits the bank.
Hey, Jen, can I call you right back? I was about to call Tommy.
No, you don't have to call me back. I just want you to know that I went to Sunnyside, but I wasn't able to talk to Marie Bishop. She was in the middle of some kind of an argument, and...
Wait, an argument? With who?
That vice president from the bank. What's his name? Dave Drummond?
Really?
The chief passes Callie and enters Tommy's office.
Chief, this is Elliot Hopkins. Oh, son, just tell Chief Jensen here what you just told me.
Last night, me and my dad went to the store, and I asked if we could stop by our new house on the way back. So we did. We just kind of parked there for a while.
Okay. So for how long?
I don't know, like 20 minutes.
So did either of you get out of the truck at any time? For any reason at all?
No. No, we just talked and made plans. Like, I want an Xbox.
So you're with your father the entire 20 minutes? You never left his sight?
No, sir.
And you didn't see anyone coming or going from the property, correct? Sorry. Your job to ask questions.
My dad didn't do anything wrong. You shouldn't be keeping him here.
Well, Elliot, we only brought your father in for questioning. But seeing as nothing turned up in the search, and now that you have accounted for his time, well, I think that we can let him go home with you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, but if either of you think of anything you might have seen when you were in front of him...
Tommy answers.
Tommy, it's Shannon. There's something down at the bank I need you to see.
And what about the meeting with the South Branch manager on Thursday?
Tommy enters the bank.
Officer Sloan, you didn't tell us you'd be coming back today?
Yeah, I just need to look around Potter's office one more time. I had a few questions I thought a licensed contractor might help with.
That's me. I'm very licensed, which, of course, you know.
Tommy and Shannon enter Potter's office and close the door. Dave leans over Patrice's shoulder.
It's starting to irritate me how she keeps popping up around here.
These marks around the lock? Someone tried to break into the drawer with something sharp. I see it all the time with old houses that I work on. People lose keys to the locks and someone tries to force them open. The gouges in the wood are fresh.
Yeah, I'd say so. They weren't here earlier when we searched the office.
I have a tool in my truck. I could get this drawer open if you wanted.
We need a warrant for that. Or permission from Dave Drummond.
You know what? The day Potter was killed, he mentioned to Marie Bishop he thought that Drummond had duped the board into donating the Forest House.
And you're only telling me this now? I need to talk to Drummond.
In the parking lot of the bank, Dave pulls out of a parking spot. Shannon and Tommy run over.
Mr. Drummond.
How can I help you, Officer Sloan?
First of all, I need the bank's permission to get into a locked drawer inside Charles Potter's desk.
Yeah, sure, whatever you need.
All right, I'll get my toolbox then.
Also, I'd like you to find some time this afternoon to maybe come down to the station and answer a few questions.
Well, what kind of questions?
Just sit tight for a second.
Why, what's wrong?
I'm missing a wrench, red and black grip.
Shannon indicates a wrench in the back seat.
Mr. Drummond, do I have permission to open your back door?
Yeah, I guess.
Unlock it for me, please.
Tommy opens the back door and uses a stick to unwrap the wrench. It's stained in blood. Dave glances back.
Hey, I've never seen that before. I don't know how that got in there.
Tommy closes the door.
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to get out of your car.
Somebody else put that in my car.
Step out of your car, please, sir.
Dave shifts into gear and takes off.
Stop!
Tommy chases after the car. Shannon gets into her truck and starts the engine. Tommy draws his gun.
Stop the car!
Shannon's truck pulls in front of Dave's car, which quickly brakes.
All right, Trump, show me your hands!
Dave raises his hands.
Step out of the car.
Tommy nods at Shannon.
Step out of the car.
Okay.
At Shannon's.
And you think it was Dave Drummond?
His lawyer won't let him say two words to me.
And yet he swore up and down that the wrench was planted in his car.
And the lab confirmed it is the murder weapon.
I'm sorry. I thought I had an extra copy of the appraisal. I can't find it.
All right. I guess I'll have to figure out another way of tracking down this appraiser.
I wish I could tell you who it was. I was so focused on the number, I didn't catch the name.
When the judge is in tomorrow, we'll be asking him to sign search warrants for Drummond's office and computer. Should happen in the next day or two.
Mac and Callie stand outside.
Oh, hey, Tommy. How's it going?
Izzy. Hey, I heard you were doing a book signing in my sister's bookstore. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Tommy leaves as they enter.
What was he doing here?
Oh, looking for something I don't have. What is that?
Uncle Mac won this guy for me at the arcade. I'm going to go post some pictures of him online.
Wow. It looks like you guys had fun.
We did. I've been to an arcade in years. I mean, they had all sorts of retro games. It was fun. We should go.
You and me? You mean, like a date?
No. That is, I mean, I know you're not ready for anything like that yet, right?
Are you? I mean, I know that you might have reasons to not want to go there.
Callie enters and picks up a carnival cup from the table where they're chatting, then starts walking out.
You guys have no idea how to communicate, do you?
Mac shoots Callie a look. She walks out. Shannon and Mac grin at each other. Shannon checks her phone.
It's my dad. Chief Jensen cleared us to go back into the forest house. The project is back on.
At the work site, Sean, Jim, and Elliot are painting a room blue. Callie and Mac enter.
Hey, guys.
Ah, glad you're here. Listen, I wanted to thank you for helping us out with that police situation.
No problem. So, pretty quiet here today.
Yeah, where are all the volunteers?
Well, guess most of them haven't realized we're back in business yet.
Wow. Jennifer told us that Callie's on paint crew today.
Great.
Oh, well, let me give you a rundown, Callie.
I can show her what to do.
Good. And Sean can show me how to hang drywall.
Right this way, Mr. Drywall.
At a drafting desk with Pete, Shannon picks up a paper.
The appraisal. Yes.
Of course. We keep extra copies of everything. You know that.
Dad, you are awesome. Mwah. Hey, have you seen Mac yet this morning?
No, I haven't.
Jennifer enters.
Hey, you guys. It's already 10 o'clock. I still had over half the assignments and no one to give them to.
I really hoped more volunteers would be trickling in by now.
I know. I called a few of them to see why they're not showing up, and everyone is saying the same thing. They're upset about the murder, you know?
They don't feel safe.
No, I don't know who can feel safe in this town until a killer is caught.
Dad. You have to let me out of that promise I made. I want to help figure out who killed Charles Potter.
The police have Dave Drummond in custody.
They haven't charged him. I don't think they have enough.
So give them time.
They might have time, but we don't. If this murder isn't solved soon, this project is in real trouble.
I understand
that. No, the house is going to revert back to the bank.
Look,
everybody counting on having a home here won't have it.
They all glance up, noticing Marie. Marie and Shannon chat outside.
I've been planning this project for a year, and barely 3 days in, it's already in jeopardy.
We're going to do our best.
And you might pull it off, but I need to tell our clients that they might need to make other plans.
At least wait till the end of the week. They might charge Dave Drummond.
I don't believe Dave did it. Dave has been our champion this entire time, and he's a good person.
And yet you were arguing with him outside your office yesterday. Why was that? Did it have anything to do with the appraisal of this property being off?
I
They glance up. Shannon dashes upstairs. A pile of drywall lays on the floor at Mac's feet under the damaged ceiling.
Mac, are you okay?
I don't know what happened.
It's okay. We allow for sheetrock gloss in our budget.
So I did exactly what Sean told me to do. I was just replacing a little damaged section.
I'll take a look at it. But I need you to do something for me that might be a little better suited to your skill set. Track down this appraiser for me. This guy here. See why he valued this property at about a third of what it's worth. I want to know before I bring this to Tommy.
Okay. It's got to be easier than hanging drywall.
At the station, the chief approaches Tommy.
Patting Drummond loose for the moment.
Okay, I know it's a problem. His prints aren't on the weapon. But the wrench was found in his car. That's solid evidence.
Well, it's not enough to charge him, and the DA agrees. We can't hold him.
Yes, sir.
Tommy watches as the chief approaches Dave.
Okay, you are free to go. But don't plan on making any trips.
I'm not going anywhere. I didn't do anything wrong.
Dave walks out. At the work site, Shannon stands atop the ladder, examining the damaged ceiling. Jennifer watches from the floor.
And what exactly is it you're doing? It's strange. This wood is damp.
Shannon shines a small flashlight on the ceiling.
You see that? That's water damage.
Shannon touches the ceiling, pondering. Now, Shannon runs a device on the bathroom floor.
I'm getting high moisture numbers. You see how the edges of the tile here are buckled?
Mm-hmm.
It means the wood underneath is warped. I would say that this room was flooded with water recently. Maybe it seeped through a crack in the vanity.
Jim carries a paint bucket nearby, unseen.
This entire floor is going to be torn up and replaced. Who knows how far water even seeped into other rooms?
But isn't that going to add on more time to the renovation?
3, maybe 4 days. I checked this room. Before I took the job, I would have noticed buckled tiles.
Jim grimaces. Shannon looks under the sink.
Look at this. Someone took a wrench to this pipe. These marks are fresh. I think someone created a leak under the sink on purpose. Bottom of Potter's pants were wet.
Hey, wait a minute. You think that Potter, he caught someone trying to cause water damage to the house?
No. I think someone caught Potter causing damage to the house, and it led to a terrible fight. What if Potter was sabotaging this project, trying to make it take so long that the house would revert back to the bank? Jen, I think we just found a motive for his murder.
Jim turns to walk off. He stumbles on a broom. Jennifer and Shannon glance up. Shannon stands.
Shannon.
She steps out into the hall and replaces the broom. She creeps forward slowly toward the newly painted blue room, which appears empty. Jim appears in the doorway.
Jim, you're still here.
Yeah, I thought I heard a knock or something.
It's probably the room.
Shannon, we're gonna call Tommy now, right?
Yeah. Go ahead and call him. Hey, it looks good.
Thanks.
Shannon turns or rejoins Jennifer in the bathroom. Jim glares in their direction.
So I have a copy here of the appraisal on the Forest House last March. This is your signature, right?
Yeah, that's me.
All right. Do you remember doing the appraisal?
I do 4 or 5 appraisals every day. They all kind of blur together.
Well, this was a really big house and sort of hard to forget. Here, see if this jogs your memory.
Well, like I said, I'm not going to remember a house I did months ago.
Look at the value. It's a little low for a 7-bedroom house, wouldn't you say?
What the? It's not.
Not what? You're saying that number isn't accurate?
No, that is not the number I came up with.
So you do remember.
And that appraisal's been altered.
You seem pretty angry about that.
How do you think?
Well, why would you be angry if somebody altered your appraisal?
Because then it makes people like you show up asking me questions.
Oh, and you don't want me asking questions.
No, that wasn't the...
Wasn't the what? The deal? The arrangement?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What sort of deal do you have with Dave Drummond?
Look, I don't know any Dave Drummond.
Who ordered this appraisal? Was it Charles Potter? Do you have some sort of deal with Charles Potter?
Look, back off, man.
Fine. I'll give this to the police. Tell them to handle it.
The man pauses.
Hey, there's no reason for that.
Well, not if you tell me what sort of deal you had with Potter.
Mac and the man stare at each other. Shannon enters the bank.
I'm here to see Patrice Doran. Thanks.
Shannon walks to the back of the bank. Patrice is standing at the door. Whitney stands inside.
I'll ask you one more time. I don't see why you had to go behind Mr. Potter's desk.
Oh, hi, Shannon. I was just telling Patrice that I brought Mrs. Potter a card to thank her for donating the books to my shop. I just thought if I put it in with this mail, it would get to her. I'm sorry. If you want to give it to her yourself, that's fine. I should be back volunteering at the Forest House by tomorrow.
Whitney walks out.
Patrice, are you okay? Did Whitney upset you?
What? Her? Oh, no, I heard that Mr. Drummond was released, and I don't know if he's coming back to work or... Do you think he could have killed Mr. Potter?
I don't know. That's what we're trying to find out.
We?
Mac enters the bank.
Whitney! Hi. Not who I expected to see.
Did you see the ad in the paper for your book signing? I already got a lot of phone calls.
Well, that's great.
Whitney dashes away.
Oh, good. You're here.
At the work site, Jennifer struggles to hold paint supplies.
How about that movie? How about this weekend?
I'd love that. You don't bury me in paint supplies first.
Callie escorts Elliot nearby by the arm.
Hey guys, you want to come give Jennifer a hand here?
Callie and Elliot pause, startled, then dash away.
I wonder what that was all about.
I don't know. I think they're planning a mutiny or something.
Sean and Jennifer grin at each other.
Okay.
Okay. Good
here.
Outside, Callie turns to Elliot.
You lied to the police?
I had to.
So the night Mr. Potter was killed, you weren't actually with your dad the whole time?
We were parked up front. He said he had to go check on something, and he got out of the truck. Then he disappeared into the dark. It was only like 5 minutes. It doesn't mean he killed anyone. Please. Please don't tell them.
Mac and Shannon stand in Patrice's office.
So this appraiser says that Potter paid him to come in low on certain houses owned by the bank. I mean, not too low, but 40, 50,000.
We're thinking so he could sell low to the same developer or house flipper.
We think that Potter was taking kickbacks. This isn't news to you.
I overheard Mr. Drummond accuse Mr. Potter of that. They were arguing over the Forest House. Mr. Potter already had a buyer lined up.
But Drummond got the board to approve the donation to Sunnyside instead. But I don't see why altering the appraisal would help.
Well, a donation under $1 million doesn't need approval by the bank president.
That's how Drummond got around him.
I think Potter was trying to outsmart Drummond by sabotaging the project, making it take so long we'd miss our deadline and the house would revert back to the bank. Do you think he would do something like that?
I hope not. That would be terrible.
We're hoping you could help us prove that Potter was taking kickbacks.
If you had a list of house sales that Potter was directly involved with, maybe to the same buyer.
I couldn't do that. I could get in a lot of trouble.
I don't know. I mean, home sales are public record, and we could just look them up ourselves.
But if you told us what houses we were looking for, it would save us a lot of time.
Patrice stammers, shaking her head.
Well, I suppose I could lead you to the file room in the basement. Tell you which drawer to look in.
Thank you.
Now, Patrice leads them down a hallway. She opens a room filled with boxes.
Those file cabinets there. Look for sales to Mulford Industries.
Thank you, Patrice.
Oh, and leave the door propped open. It locks automatically, and I don't dare give you my keys.
No, we don't want you to get in trouble.
Patrice props the door with a trash can.
And please hurry. Okay.
Patrice steps away.
She said Mulford.
Shannon pulls out a file. She looks through several pages and finds one that is stamped foreclosed.
Wait. This appraisal list's previous owner is James Hopkins. This bank foreclosed on Jim's house.
The door behind them closes. Mac tries the door.
Hey! No cell signal. However,
someone's bound to come down eventually, right?
Oh no, it's the computer age. I think filing is an afterthought. But I think I could get us out of here if I found the right tools.
Such as?
Something long and thin, like a nail?
They rummage on a shelf. Shannon finds a long pin.
Or a pin. Okay, now I just need something to drive it with, like a hammer.
Alright.
Mac and Shannon continue rummaging. Shannon glances at Mac nervously.
So Kelly tells me how much she misses you since you've moved away.
Yeah, I miss her like crazy. How about a stapler?
Mac hands her the stapler.
She also sort of told me why you moved away.
Should have seen that coming.
You never told me you were engaged.
Never told you that I left my bride to be at the altar and gained the reputation as the world's biggest cad?
But you're not a cad. There must be more to the story.
Well, that makes you one of the few people who gives me the benefit of the doubt.
I'd love to know what happened.
No.
It's okay. I understand.
Shannon carries the stapler and pin over to the door.
My fiancé had truth issues, which I learned about when she told me that technically I was not going to be her first husband because technically she never got around to filing for divorce.
But instead of telling everybody why you didn't go through with the wedding, I let them think you were the bad guy. That must have been very painful.
That's one word for it.
Shannon removes the door's hinge pin.
And that's why you told me you weren't ready to date again.
Yeah. So, now you know my reason. Why don't you tell me yours?
Shannon fidgets.
Got the pins out. And we are free.
Shannon and Mac walk toward the exit of the bank. Marie enters, frazzled.
Oh, Shannon, hello.
Marie, are you okay?
Yes, I'm looking for Dave. I heard the police let him go and I need to talk to him.
He's not here. At least he wasn't in his office.
Oh. Well, I'm sure he'll call me back soon.
Thanks. Were you here to talk to him about the appraisal on the Forrest house?
We know that he altered it.
You knew, didn't you? That's why you were arguing with him that day after Potter was killed.
Okay, yes. But I swear I didn't know before Potter was killed, and if I had known, then...
Marie shakes her head.
You don't know how difficult it was to deal with someone like Charles Potter. He had a way of making good people do things that they would otherwise never do, making them feel that it's perfectly reasonable to do the wrong thing to get the right result. Sorry, I'm just, ignore me. I'm just upset. I have to go.
Marie turns and walks off.
Did it sound like she was just about to confess to the murder?
Well, or she's figured out that it was Drummond who did it.
They walk out of the bank onto the sidewalk.
I should go let Tommy know everything we found out today.
All right, I gotta pick up Callie. I'll meet you back at your place.
All right.
They walk down opposite sides of the street. Inside a nearby car facing Shannon, a hand appears on a steering wheel. Shannon returns to her house and parks the truck in the driveway. She walks up to the front door. Dave appears on her porch. Shannon stiffens when she sees him.
What are you doing here?
Waiting for you.
I'm calling the police.
No, please don't.
Step back.
Not until you hear what I have to say. I'm sorry if I scared you, okay? I don't know where else to turn. And you seem to be the one person who actually cares about finding out the truth.
Shannon relaxes.
I'm listening.
You have no idea what it's like being framed for something that you didn't do.
You altered the appraisal.
I did, but it was for a good cause. And just once I wanted to beat Charles at his own game. But I'm no good at it. I don't have his talent for corruption.
You mean the kickbacks that he's been pocketing?
Yeah. I knew something was wrong. A friend of mine who works at the Green Meadows Credit Union said that Charles had opened a safe deposit box under an assumed name.
Did you tell this to the police?
No, my lawyer won't let me tell them anything. He says all they care about is proving me guilty, which is why I'm here, because I need someone to prove me innocent. Please, I have a wife, I have kids, and I cannot end up in prison for a murder I didn't commit. Please.
Dave walks down her porch. Nighttime. Mac and Shannon chat in her kitchen.
Drummond was waiting for you, and you didn't call the police?
Shh. You're gonna wake Callie.
You should've called Tommy. You should've called me.
Mac glances out the window and closes the shade.
I did call Tommy. He's out on a lead. He said he would be here in the morning, but the thing is I believe Drummond.
Shannon, you lied to your face about the appraisal.
If he's being framed for murder, can you blame him for being desperate?
He lied to you before he was a murder suspect. Before you found the murder weapon in his car.
That's true. But if he's guilty, why would he want me to prove that he's innocent?
Why would a murderer want you on his side? Look, I don't want you and Callie alone in this house with that guy running around. I'd feel better if I could sleep on the couch.
Shannon smiles and nods. Daytime in a small graveyard near the water. Shannon places a bouquet at the stone of Catherine Hughes. Pete appears behind with a single rose.
How's my heart good to see fresh flowers on your mother's grave?
Dad, didn't expect to see you here.
I come here once or twice a week, say hello to the love of my life.
So do I. Sometimes I feel like I can hear her saying hello back.
You know what she'd be saying right now?
Dad, if you're gonna tell me that I shouldn't be butting into the murder investigation again.
Not what I was gonna say.
Oh. So I'm not a mind reader.
I was gonna say, she'd be wondering when you're gonna turn your attention to finding the love of your life.
Shannon sighs.
We can't all be as lucky as you and Mom were.
Darling. Love is less about luck and more about the willingness to open your heart.
Pete places the rose on top of the stone. He kisses his fingers and touches the stone.
It's ringing a bell. I think I heard it in a song once.
You always make a joke every time someone brings up your love life, huh?
Or lack thereof.
See what I mean? I've watched you since you were born. I watched how you once opened your heart to the world, and when your mother died, I watched how you withdrew it.
Yes, well, we all did.
True. But you were so young and your heart was so broken, you developed this habit of being cautious before you had the time to understand how resilient the heart can be.
If you thought this about me, why didn't you...
I know. Why didn't I tell you before? Because I hadn't seen you with anyone where I thought, maybe it's worth it throwing caution at the wind.
You think Mac is worth it?
Question is, do you think he is? Talk to your mother about it. Love you.
Pete blows a kiss and walks off. Shannon stares at the stone. In the kitchen, Mac and Callie sit at the table. Callie stares at her plate, picking at her food.
Jennifer called. Asked if she could take you downtown, recruit more volunteers for the renovation. Is that something you want to do?
Callie stares out the window.
Callie? Okay.
What if you know something, but you promise not to tell? What's the right thing to do?
Shannon pulls out her phone, leaving the graveyard.
Hey, Tommy, what's up?
Well, I've been going through these pictures you sent me, trying to figure out Potter's kickback scheme. There's some acronyms in these files I don't understand.
Try calling Patrice. I bet she could help with that.
Well, that's the thing. I called the bank. They said she didn't show up for work today.
She didn't call either.
That's strange.
Yeah, it's bothering me. You said she was worried about repercussions for showing you this stuff.
You know, she lives in my neighborhood. Why don't I stop by and make sure she's okay?
All right. Thanks, Shannon.
In the worksite garage, Sean holds a drill. Jim and Elliot stand nearby.
So, Elliot, really think you're ready for power tools?
Oh, he's ready.
Callie and Mac appear, looking serious. Elliot looks up.
Sorry, Elliot. I had to tell.
Jim, you want to come with me to talk to the police, or should I have them come here?
Jim sighs. Sean and Jennifer exchange glances. At the station, Jim sits in Tommy's office. Mac stands inside. Tommy closes the door and leans on his desk, arms crossed.
So you're telling me, the night of Potter's murder, you did get out of your truck?
Yes, that's right. The front door was open. I saw a shadow and then someone leaving the house. So I got out of my truck to check it out.
And he saw who it was.
I didn't say anything up until now because, well, you already hauled me in once, and so I didn't want to make things worse for myself.
That doesn't even make any sense. I asked you 10 times if you saw anyone.
I'm an ex-con. I know it doesn't pay to point a finger at someone who's related to a cop.
I saw your sister. Tommy.
That's right. The woman I saw leaving the house that night was Whitney Sloan.
Elsewhere, Shannon approaches the front door of a suburban house. The door is open. She peeks inside.
Patrice?
She enters the house and walks the hallway. She enters the kitchen. Patrice is lying on the floor, motionless. Whitney stands over her. She turns and stares at Shannon. Shannon gapes. Shannon holds her cell phone.
No, she's breathing okay. Her eyes haven't opened yet. Okay, I'll wait till you get here.
Shannon turns to Whitney.
Whitney, what happened here?
I got here right before you did. She was already lying here like that.
But what are you doing here?
I don't know what you mean. I should go.
Whitney turns and dashes out.
Whitney! Where are you going?
Shannon furrows her brow, then turns to Patrice. At the station, Tommy retrieves a paper from the printer and carries it to Jim and Mac. It
says here exactly what you told me. At approximately 7:40 p.m. outside the Forest House, you witnessed Whitney Sloan exit through the front door. If that's correct, then please sign your statement right here.
Jim signs.
I'm sorry it came to this.
Yeah, well, you prefer to deal in facts here. So if those are the facts.
Jim turns to Mac.
I'm gonna go check on the kids.
Yeah, thanks.
He walks off. Mac approaches Tommy.
You know, even if Whitney was there, she had nothing to do with Potter's murder. That girl, she cries over dead bugs.
Tommy turns and answers his phone.
Officer Sloan.
It's Shannon. Patrice was injured. There's something I have to tell you about Whitney.
Tommy turns to Mac. Now, Tommy stands in Patrice's house.
Yes, sir.
Tommy watches as several police cars arrive. Tommy turns to Shannon and Mac.
The chief says Whitney's not at home or at the bookstore. He just issued an APB on her. Whitney said she didn't do it, right? Could have been Drummond.
It could have been. She's conscious now. Pupils responsive, no signs of contusions, just a cut on her head. Luckily, whoever hit her didn't hit too hard, but we'll take her for a CT scan just to be sure. You can talk to her before we go.
I don't know if I should. I mean, not if she's gonna accuse my sister. I'll call the chief. See if he thinks I should recuse myself.
And the EMT wheels Patrice by.
I know why your sister was here. She was looking for the letter.
Ma'am, you should probably wait to tell this
what
to
letter?
You.
You remember when she came by the bank to drop off a card for Mrs. Potter? I caught her looking through Mr. Potter's mail basket. I found what she was looking for. It's right there on the counter. Read it, please. You need to know. Everyone needs to know.
They wheel Patrice out. Tommy approaches the kitchen counter. He finds an envelope and opens it.
It's Whitney's handwriting, all right. It's a letter to Potter.
Tommy reads the letter, then lowers it sadly. He turns to Shannon and Mac.
Whitney threatened to kill him.
Shannon approaches Mac outside the hospital.
Hey, she isn't here.
What do you mean? The ambulance was only 10 minutes ahead of us. She's gotta be here.
I made them check 3 times.
An EMT passes.
Hey, excuse me, miss. You brought our friend Patrice here?
We brought her here, but she refused to come in. Said she had to get to work. Concussions can do that, make a person disoriented.
So you let her just walk away?
People walk away against medical advice all the time.
Well, you picked her up from her house. Don't you think you have a responsibility
okay.
to make...
We'll track her down. Thank you. Maybe we can find her at the bank.
You know what? You go look for Patrice. I think I know where Whitney might be.
Okay.
Whitney fidgets with her hands, sitting on the same bench Mac brought Callie to earlier. Whitney watches the sunset. Mac appears on the cliff and approaches Whitney. Whitney turns and sees Mac. She sighs.
Well, if someone had to find me, at least it's you.
You didn't want to be found?
Mac approaches and sits beside Whitney.
What I want is to not be so afraid anymore. I've been so terrified ever since I sent that letter.
You threatened to kill Charles Potter.
I was so desperate when I wrote that letter. I got a notice from the bank saying they were going to foreclose on my shop, and so I called and I begged him to give me more time. He basically told me that it was all my fault, and then he hung up on me. He upset me so much, I just wanted to upset him too. I didn't really want to kill him, but when he ended up murdered, I knew that that letter would make me look so guilty.
A witness saw you at the Forest House the night he was killed.
Whitney shakes her head.
I lost my phone that morning, and I thought that I left it at the house, so I went there to look for it. The last thing in the world I expected to see was Potter with a wrench.
Well, then why didn't you report him that night? Tell your brother, someone.
I don't know, okay? I don't know. I thought maybe he had a reason for being there. And then I lost my temper, and I said some things I probably shouldn't have said, but that's all. I swear I did not kill him.
And who did?
At the bank, Shannon enters Patrice's office, which is empty. She turns to the hall, glancing around.
Patrice!
Shannon returns inside and approaches the desk. Dave passes in the hall behind Shannon. He pauses, glaring at her.
What are you doing here? I'm gonna ask you again, what are you doing here?
I'm looking for Patrice.
When I asked you to keep digging, I didn't mean digging here. I was an idiot for thinking that you'd believe me, wasn't I? You just want to prove me guilty too.
You need to back up.
Shannon picks up a letter opener.
He said I'm gonna hurt you.
Dave shakes his head sadly.
No. God, no.
Dave backs away and sits on a chair. He lowers his head. Shannon lowers the letter opener. She looks inside Patrice's desk, finding pliers, a tiny screwdriver, and paper clips bent open like lockpicks.
What is it?
You really didn't kill Charles Potter.
On the bench, Whitney looks pleadingly at Mac.
I don't know who hurt Patrice, but she told me that she thinks she knows who killed Potter and she thought she could prove it.
When did she tell you that?
When she called to say that she'd give me the letter if I brought her the books, but I already put the books on the shelf.
Books? What books?
2 officers appear.
Miss Sloan, I'm gonna need you to come with me.
Whitney lowers her head, then stands. She approaches the officers. Mac shakes his head, pondering as the cops lead Whitney away. Shannon chats on her phone, walking outside the bank.
It was Patrice who tried to break into Potter's desk the morning after he was killed, although I have no idea what she was looking for.
The officers drive off.
You think it could have been some kind of book? Because Whitney says that Patrice called her to trade her threatening letter for some books.
Why would she? Wait, Mrs. Potter donated all of her husband's books to Whitney's shop.
Yeah, Whitney says that she put them on her shelves for sale. You think one of the books could have been worth a lot of money?
I did see her flipping through them as she was packing. Maybe something was hidden inside one of them.
Maybe.
Is it possible that Patrice gave herself the cut on her forehead and faked being unconscious to get rid of Whitney just to find the books?
No idea. I'll call Tommy, tell him your theory, but...
Yes, tell him. I'm headed to Whitney's shop to find those books.
Shannon hangs up and enters her truck.
Wait, Shannon!
Mac hangs up and dashes to her car. Inside the bookstore, Patrice removes a book from a shelf and flips through it. She places it down on a stack of other books and reaches for another. Shannon appears on scene, watching her. Patrice finds a key inside a book.
I see you found the book you've been looking for. That must be the key to Potter's safe deposit box.
Patrice turns to Shannon.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You were his assistant. If anyone had a chance to see him slip a key inside a book and lock it inside a drawer, it was you. Is that why you killed him? To get the money?
Patrice walks off. Shannon follows.
I know Potter was secretly trying to sabotage my worksite for another kickback. What I don't know is if you were at the Forest House helping him with the sabotage.
I would never do that. I would never do anything that would cost people their homes. That's what he did. He let the bank take my father's house. Wouldn't lift a finger to stop it. I would never help that man.
So if you weren't there to help him, then you must have followed him there.
I knew what he was doing. And I was gonna get proof, take pictures, expose him.
Did he catch you? Is that it?
I hated that man, but I didn't mean to kill him. I had to defend myself.
Mac enters.
Shannon!
Patrice knocks over a shelf and dashes away.
You okay?
Yeah, go around, I'll follow her.
Shannon runs after Patrice. Shannon exits through the front of the shop. Mac rounds the corner and approaches.
Where is she?
I don't know. I think I know she was headed.
They run off together. Tommy holds his phone in his office.
It's the place Drummond mentioned. Green Meadows Credit Union. We're almost there. We'll be careful. So Tommy looked up Patrice's father. He died a year ago, just a few months after the bank foreclosed on his house.
Shannon and Mac enter a credit union. They look around at the customers.
Do you see her?
Patrice walks with a man to the counter.
There she is.
Patrice smiles at the teller, then turns. Her smile fades, seeing Shannon and Mac.
Excuse me, do you have a washroom? Thank you.
Patrice steps away.
I'll follow her, see if there's a way out the back.
Shannon walks to the back of the store. Shannon follows. Patrice enters a stairwell and runs up a flight. Shannon enters the stairwell and glances up, then chases after. Patrice feverishly runs up the steps. Shannon follows, a flight below. Patrice exits out of the roof access door, then stops. Shannon appears behind her.
Why couldn't you just leave me alone? Let me get the money. I would have given most of it back. I just needed enough to get away.
You don't have to run. Not if it was self-defense.
No one's gonna believe me.
I believe you.
Mac climbs up a nearby ladder, appearing on the roof. Patrice steps closer to the edge.
But I forged Potter's signature to get access to his safe deposit box. That makes it look like I planned it.
Or it makes it look like you wanted proof of what he was doing.
Patrice, listen to me. I know that your father died after the bank took his house.
It was the shame that killed him. You couldn't bear to feel such shame. And now I understand.
She looks over the ledge. Below, traffic passes on the street. Matt creeps near them, hidden behind the door access.
Patrice, I am on your side. I know how much it hurts to lose someone. I understand, too. The feeling of injustice when he died. Wanting to right that wrong. I know it's not your fault.
Matt creeps closer.
Look at me. I meant what I said. I'll go with you to the police. I can help explain. I'll talk to them. They know me. Please, let me help you. You don't have to do this. We can make it right. Just talk to me. Please.
No. It's too late.
No.
Matt dashes forward and tackles Patrice. She falls to the ground with Max still holding her, sobbing. Shannon looks down to the ground below. Cop cars are parked on the street at the entrance to the credit union. Shannon crouches beside Mac as he rocks Patrice back and forth. Daytime in the downtown village. A sign advertises Mac's book signing. Marie walks the sidewalk with Shannon, Mac, Callie, Elliot, and Jim.
I know I've said it before, but I have to thank you again for finding out the truth and for saving the renovation. And your dad tells us you'll come in right on schedule.
I think we will.
I need to thank you, too. It means the world to me that I'll be able to give my son a home.
Thank you for all the volunteer hours you've been putting in.
Oh, hey, if you got a volunteer job, I'm your man.
I'll take it.
Come on, Uncle Mac. Can't be late for your own book signing.
Yeah, Uncle Mac. Your fans are waiting.
The others enter the store. Mac and Shannon hang behind a few steps.
Don't tell me the famous writer is nervous.
I am, but not about that. About what I want to tell you.
What is it?
You're right. Ever since my wedding that wasn't, I've been in no hurry to start a relationship.
I understand, caution.
But lately, when I'm with you, I'm feeling a definite impatience. The truth is, I'm crazy about you. And I know you've been in no hurry to start a relationship, and I respect.
Shannon steps forward and kisses Mac. She smiles.
Come on, I have to go stand in line to get an autograph from my favorite writer.
She takes his hand, and they walk together into the bookstore.